And I'm guessing, although I haven't heard yet, there was a problem with a circuit line somewhere on Gauley Mountain. My first guess was that some joker had slid into a phone pole and taken out a transformer. Because there's a rule of thumb around here, and that is, if the power blinks once and comes back, you're okay. If it blinks once, comes back, goes out, blinks twice, eh, you're getting dicey. If it goes out the third time, you're done. I don't know, maybe that's just the way the redundancy of the power company works, but that's what it turned out to be round hereabouts last night. So my humble apologies, especially to Nanette. I'd hate for anybody to think that I just bailed out. But we worked out some technical glitches last night, and it was nice. It was nice talking to folks. And we're getting, you know, things are getting a little bit better evening by evening by evening. Now, in case you're wondering, as you call, for those of you who call in, you'll just go, you'll go straight to, the phone will ring until it's picked up, and you'll be on the air. Agnes has the night off tonight, for a variety of reasons, not the least of which had to do with Halloween costumes. So we'll just, we will dispense with the formalities of name and topic, and, well, you know, we'll just do it sort of raw, if you will. And that'll add a little spontaneity to it. What's his name? Ed Schultz. Ed Schultz is terribly, terribly fond of pointing out the fact that he does not screen calls like the oxymoron Flush Flemball does. So there will be no screened calls here this evening either. Now, for those of us who are decent, who are upstanding, who are loyal Americans, it's been an interesting day of waiting to see whether or not the anti-American crooks in the White House, the ice scooter, Libby, if it says Libby, Libby, Libby on the indictment, 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 now that still doesn't work, does it? Ice scooter and Karl Rove, waiting to see if the dime is going to drop on them. Apparently, as of the last check right before I started the program, it hadn't happened yet. However, John Roberts over at CBS News, no, not Johnny Robs, who sits on the Supreme Court, John Roberts, the reporter over at CBS News, is reporting that, and this was really the first mention I saw of it in the so-called mainstream media, John Roberts is reporting that Fitzgerald is putting the finishing touches on his criminal probe of criminal Karl Rove and criminal iScooter, but that today FBI agents conducted a handful of last-minute interviews to check facts key to the case, and that Fitzgerald, I heard earlier today, Fitzgerald even had a brief meeting with the chief judge. Now, that should tell you something. Sitting down and having a little heart-to-heart with the chief judge, that kind of has meaning, doesn't it? But there's still no word on whether there will be any announcement. And the grand jury, meanwhile, is due to recess or be released sine die as of Friday. That doesn't, you know, if we don't have indictments by then, that still doesn't mean that Fitzmas isn't coming. It means that he needs more time. Because that jury could be released, or it could be extended, or a new grand jury could be impaneled. This is complicated stuff. I mean, this isn't anything so simple and weird as, well, did he really say, I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky? It's a little bit more complicated than that. It's a little bit more complicated than a stain on a blue dress, or a flash of a thong, or anything as prurient as that. This is, in fact, real criminal investigation, and some of that does take time. But we know now, by virtue of the fact that that Fitzgerald has chatted and interviewed the Italian investigators who determined that Italy was in on the scam, helped cook up the Niger story claim, because you got to remember, Silvio Berlusconi's Italian government is, they're one little French fry hat with the floppy tassel away from being Mussolini-esque. Silvio Berlusconi, if I recall correctly, is Italy's answer to Rupert Murdoch, and he got himself elected prime minister or premier, what have you, of Italy. So they were helping cook the books, cook the intelligence. Oh, what did it say in the Downing Street memo? They were helping to, what was it? Make the allegations fit the facts. The facts were being tailored. Wasn't that the phrase in the Downing Street memo? So, all you good little boys and girls, don't give up just yet. Fitzmas is still coming. Fitzaclaus will be here. Just have faith. So, as usual, if you've got something to say, if you've got a burr under your saddle, a bee under your bonnet, for God's sakes, get it out. Because that stuff is not good for you. The way you reach the show, it's easy. 304-658-5453. That's one way. The other, of course, 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877, the number 4, H-E-A-D-O-N, 877-443-2366. Learn it, know it, use it. It's time for our first break. When we come back, it was a busy day in the Republican. I've got a victory to tell you about, and that's good stuff. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The deaths from this disease are actually declining, but we can't celebrate too soon. The reason deaths from breast cancer are declining is because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings. And it is those screenings that are detecting it earlier and earlier when it's most curable. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you're a woman over 40, take this opportunity to schedule your annual mammogram. If you're a woman of any age and are at high risk for developing breast cancer, talk to your doctor about how often you should receive screening mammograms. And share this with your sisters, mothers, wives, and daughters. If you need more information, it is easily available at www.radiologyinfo.org. Breast cancer deaths are on the decline. Let's keep it that way. Get the information you need about mammography screening from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, "Reconsider your labor practices." A few months later, I get a letter back saying thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then keep your home smoke-free. Because secondhand smoke can trigger your child's asthma attacks. Even as little as a puff or two can trigger an attack. So make a new house rule. No smoking indoors. Even when the kids are out of the house or in another room. Toss the matches, hide the ashtrays, and put your foot down. If you're going to smoke, you're going to smoke outside. Because smoke can linger for longer than you think. And just a little secondhand smoke can be enough to trigger an asthma attack. The same goes for the car. A couple of puffs in a space that small is more than enough to cause trouble. So stub it out before you step in. Hey, it takes a lot of willpower to quit smoking. Take a lot less smoking in the house, and it can make a difference to its asthma. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. Because no child should feel like a fish out of water. Brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Living in this wasteland of the free,
welcome back. 18 and a half minutes past the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And I promised you a little bit of good news before the break, and by golly, I'm going to deliver. You remember, and it was, God, it was disgusting. I wanted to run around the yard tearing at my hair when I heard it. Dear Leader, in the aftermath of Katrina, felt like the best thing he could do to help folks out was to... Now, and you know how this works. The best thing he could do to help out was to cut wages for the people who were going to be rebuilding New Orleans. How did he do that? Well, with a stroke of a pen, really. Now, anyone involved with organized labor knows darn good and well what the Davis-Bacon Act is. That's the provision that says if the federal government is going to spend your taxpayer dollars to go out and build stuff, that it's darn well not going to lowball the workers who do the building. And as a consequence, the Davis-Bacon Act says that the government will pay the prevailing wage for what is being done, you know, that particular skill, that particular craft in the region, in the area. Now, with a stroke of the pen, dear leader, that compassionate conservative said,
what we need to do is give the rebuilding contracts to Halliburton and let them pay minimum wage to the people who are going to be rebuilding the place where they live. That's just good, smart sense. That's common sense.
Well, that really, really doesn't sound like George, does it? Well, the tenor does. The content does. What a terrible impression. Well, we got a little victory today. It started out with some work by Congressman George Miller. He's a Democrat, of course, from California. He's the senior Democrat on the House Education and Workforce Committee. And he brought pressure on Dear Leader to force a vote on it in Congress by November. Guess what happened today? The coward in chief backed down. Dimson announced today that he's going to reverse his decision to shortchange and lowball the workers rebuilding New Orleans with our tax dollars. Now, my congressman here in the 3rd District of West Virginia, Nick Rahal, said today, President Bush has finally acknowledged that his Gulf Coast wage cut is an insult to the talents and skills of men and women fulfilling these contracts. I congratulate working families of this nation, and I congratulate all of those who stepped up and helped win the hard fight. Now, I'm not one for a lot of trumpet tooting. But when I heard about this, I made sure that Congressman Rahal and Senator Byrd and Senator Rockefeller, you know, my elected representatives, heard about it. And I don't doubt that a lot of working people in West Virginia did the same. Now, bear in mind, there would have been no sense in sending a letter to Arch Moore in a bad wig, you know, Shelley Moore. She's the 2nd District and Congress creature. Because, you know, if George says it, she does it. He says froggy, she says how high, how green. So that would have been pointless. But Alan Mollahan, Nick Rahal, working with George Miller of California, got the job done. Congressman Rahal went on and said, without the Davis-Bacon Act, government projects are awarded to the lowest bidder and laborer salaries are slashed with literally no wage floor in sight. It's shameful to take advantage of those willing to put in the long hours and hard work to rebuild our cities. This proclamation threatened our long-standing labor and employment laws, and the American worker deserves better. Well, dear God, yeah, Congressman, they deserve better. On a lot of fronts. And just to toss this out there for consideration, they deserve better when he, Rahal, voted for the bankruptcy bill and the estate tax bill. They deserve better than that, too. So, you know, Chalk one up for doing the right thing, Congressman. Let's make a habit of it. What do you say? So, our courageous leader backed down. Put that one in the W column, would you? That's a very, very good thing. Meanwhile, we take one, you know, sometimes we're like pilgrims. We take one step forward and we make two steps back. Because while Nick Rahal was a valuable part of this process that called that hateful little dirtbag in the White House on his nasty little stunt trying to screw workers. Well, we've got a governor who, I hope you're, don't let me put you off if you're not a West Virginian. Look at us as a microcosm of the country. We've got a governor who can't decide whether he's a Democrat or not. Because, this weekend, is it? This coming weekend, he's running up to Morgantown to do a little toe-kissing with West Virginians for Life. West Virginians for Life. He's going to share, get this, the Democratic governor of the state of West Virginia is going to share the podium with, what's his name, Swindler Schindler. Terry Schiavo's brother. You know, the same guy that was selling the donor lists to right-wing telemarketers and direct mailers. The guy who was more than happy to profit from his poor, vegetative, brain-dead sister's misery. Our governor is going to share a podium with that scumbucket. Our governor is going to spit in the face of every single Democrat in this state who believes that a woman's body is a woman's business. He's gonna go and hang out with the pro-life crowd. And, you know, I hope he can at least make it a worthwhile endeavor. It would be nice while he's up there, although I don't expect it, it would be nice if while Joe is up there in Morgantown rubbing elbows with the pasty-faced, doughy white people who believe that women need to remain barefoot and pregnant, who believe that women who have problem pregnancies that can't be dealt with either through cesarean or natural childbirth and should just die, because that's what the so-called partial birth abortion is about. It'd be nice if he could say to them, you know, by the way, you've got enough money to burn wet elephants. Why don't you throw a little of that into feeding the poor, housing the homeless, providing for little babies that are already born? Now, that ain't going to happen. They're going to sit around and talk about them precious little fetuses that's got to be born. Now, never mind after they're born. We don't give a tinker's damn what happens to them, but they've got to be born! How long until Joe's nickname becomes Joe One Term Manchin? I'm a Democrat. I'm a hardcore Democrat. But, you know, part of being a hardcore Democrat is calling your leadership on their screw-ups. Okay? So consider that done. Time for our bottom of the hour break. We'll have a little music for you as we cover the bottom of availability. This is Head On. You know how to reach us. 877-4-HEAD-ON, bob@headonradio.com. It's real easy. I'm Bob Kincaid.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family sentence. Some out before time. Gun crimes. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Ranger, why do you have to remind people to be careful with fire?
Well, Mr. Mountain Lion, sometimes people need to be reminded about certain things, like not to run with scissors or let children play with wild dingoes, and to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you're saying is that people can be careless and forgetful?
Pretty much.
That makes me very sad.
Sounds like someone needs a hug.
Back off or I'll turn your hat into confetti!
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, State Forester, and the Ag Council.
Welcome back. It wasn't so bad, was it? No, of course not. All right. Well, coming up on 34 minutes past the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. And it's a Wednesday night prayer meeting edition. A reminder of the phone lines, the phone numbers, if you'd like to make use of them, feel free. 304-658-5453 locally or outside the area. If you need us to pick up the tab, we're more than happy to do so. 877-4, the number 4, Head On, H-E-A-D-O-N, or and that, of course, translates as 877-443-2366. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. Just got an email from our buddy David in South Carolina. Says, Bob, I hope they nail the frat boy. That would be dear leader. Because it looks like he's once more going to have other people take the fall for him. Does kind of have a history of that, doesn't he, David? I don't believe for a minute that Bush didn't know about all of this from the beginning. That's the way his family plays. And God knows that much is true. There's no getting around it. That is the way the Bush family operates. Oh, sorry, playing with the equipment here. It is how they operate. Whether it's Prescott Bush... Oh, God, here it comes, huh? Whether it's Prescott Bush doing business with Fritz Thyssen, the guy that was referred to as Hitler's angel, who wound up, and, you know, it's there, it's public record. Prescott Bush had to pay a fine under the Trading with the Enemies Act. It's the way they do business. They're dirty. They're filthy, corrupt, ugly, nasty. God, you want to talk about nasty. I don't know if you caught the photograph or not. I ran across it on Democratic Underground. In Houston at Enron Field. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Minute Maid Park. They caught Poppy Bush playing tonsil hockey with Babs on the Kiss Cam. Put me off my kibble for a couple of days. It was disgusting. I mean, Poppy sitting there getting it on with the Quaker Oats, man. Let's go to the phones and see if I can make this part of it work, too. Hi, you're Head On. Hello? You're Head On. Oh, there you are. Who have I got? Hello? Hello? Yeah. Go right ahead. Hello? Okay, well, try again. I'll make this thing work, don't worry. But as I said, well, I don't know if you want to see that photograph or not. It reminded me, I forget who the Supreme Court justice was who said, I don't know what the definition of obscenity is, but I know it when I see it. Ugh, I saw it. Nasty. Ugly. All right, let's try this one more time and see if we can make this thing work. Hello, you're Head On. Who have I got? Hello? Okay, I hear me in the background. Hello? You're Head On. Is that you, Jim? Head On, who have I got? Hello?
Yeah, it's still not working. This is David.
Yeah, hey, David, how you doing? It's working.
It's breaking up.
Well, that's...
Sorry.
That's okay. What's breaking up? Oh, okay, the phone's breaking up. All right, let's try this again. Hi, you're Head On. Who have I got?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, Jim.
Hello.
Hello. How are you? Jim?
You got me.
Yeah, I got you. You got me? Can you hear me? Let's see here. Is that any better? Hello? Okay, so tonight's the night we have trouble with the telephones. Alrighty. Oh, this is going to be interesting. Well, you know, it's right. You know, these first few nights, it's the glitch of the nightclub. All right, let's try it again. Hey, Jim, you're head on. Jim. Okay. You there, Jim? Hey, Jim, you there? Yo, Jim. All right, I guess we're going to have phone troubles tonight. Well, you know, one thing at a time. That's the way it works. Again, you can do all the dry runs in the world that you want to, but when it comes right down to it, sooner or later you got to fire the puppy up and go. I'm perplexed. I don't know. I have no idea what's going on here. I mean, I got a lot of knobs in front of me, and most of them I actually, surprisingly enough, know what they do. Let's see. Let's try another button here. No, I guess not. I don't know. Maybe some of this has something to do with last night's fun with the power outage. Let's see if I can do it this way. Head on. Hold, please. Okay, we did that. Now we do this.
Hello?
Hello. You there, Jim? Jim. Okay. Well, this is just bizarre. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Mic check. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Well, I don't have time to fool with any knobs or anything. So, you know, my apologies. Like I said, gave Agnes the night off for some Halloween stuff, and this is our first little glitch that has befallen us. And I don't know what it is, but we'll find out. I might have to wait till the end of the show, but God only knows. We'll figure it out. But moving on, away from that image is still there. She does look like the Quaker Oats man, though. Yeah, okay. Everybody liked the phone. Okay, hold on, coming to you. You're on hold now. So are you. Now, line two. Hey, you're head on.
I'm right here.
Yeah, Jim, can you hear me? You know, okay, well, doggone it. Time out, folks. We got to fix this. Jim, are you there? Stand by, okay? I'm going to kill the mic. Let's try this again. You there, Jim? Jim, you there? Are you there? Okay. Okay, back to hold. Hey, David, are you there? David, you're head on.
Yeah, I don't know whether you're talking to me or not, but
yeah, I'm talking
to you. All I hear is static.
Okay, all you're hearing is static on your end? Okay.
Just static if you're hearing me.
Yeah, I can't hear you
at all.
I'm hearing you. Well, dadgummit. Okay. Well, I apologize for that.
No. I don't hear anything but static. I guess that static's when you're trying to talk to me.
Is it better if... how about that? Okay. Back to hold David. Head on. Head on. Hey, you're head on. You're head on.
Well, if I can't hear what's going on, I mean, this is...
Yeah, it's frustrating, isn't it? Okay, well, we've got phone troubles. I got to take a break anyway. My apologies to everyone, and I appreciate your attempts to help. Some of this stuff may just have to wait until after the show so I can play engineer with it. Engineer, right. Oh, brother. All right, let's do take a break. And when we come back, I don't know, more phone calls? Maybe not. All right, you're listening to Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
Service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
A little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, State Forester, and the Ag Council.
Are you a safe miner? If so, you may be eligible to receive official professional miner recognition. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. If you've worked 3 years or more in the mining industry without incurring a lost time workplace injury, you can be recognized as a professional miner. Professional miners are a tremendously valuable resource to the mining industry because of their proven ability to work in a hazardous environment yet remain injury-free. Professional miners stay injury-free because they are experts at recognizing and eliminating hazards. Professional miners always wear their personal protective equipment. Professional miners always conduct thorough workplace examinations. And professional miners always make the right decision where matters of safety and health are concerned. Call your local MSHA office and ask them about the professional miner recognition. Thank you for listening.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Jealous winter sun.
Welcome back. I opted for the soothing music, mainly to soothe me, if not you guys, because that was the business with the phone was annoying. But I also took an opportunity to do what I could do, mainly swear at it. I don't know. We may have it licked yet. So if you want to try back, you're more than welcome to. But we talked a little bit about a few minutes ago about Joe Manchin heading up to Morgantown to rub elbows and various other things with the anti-uterus crowd. And you know, part and parcel of that whole anti-uterus business is this new movement. Yeah, it's sort of an oblique attack or a flank attack, if you will, if you're up on your military terminology. And the flank attack now is for pharmacists and doctors to say, I don't want to give out no birth control pills. That might cause a silent abortion. Right. Well, this is how far it's gone. From the Arizona Daily Star a few days ago, Sunday. Although it is safe, effective, and legal, emergency contraception, the morning after pill, can be hard to find in Tucson, and if it's hard to find in Tucson, God knows it's hard to find here. Dig this. Now, remember, these ethical pharmacists who refuse to dispense this pill, you know, they're Christians. Right, sure they are. They're pro-life. After a rape one recent weekend, a young Tucson woman spent 3 frantic days trying to obtain the morning after pill to prevent a pregnancy, knowing that each passing day lowered the chance that the drug would work. She was raped. She called dozens of Tucson pharmacies. And remember, Arizona is a highly Republican state. Trying to fill a prescription for emergency contraception, and most of them wouldn't even stock the drug because they were afraid of the knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing, pasty-faced, doughy people walking around going, we want to control them innards! She finally found a pharmacy that carried it. And what did she find out when she found the pharmacy that carried it? Well, the pharmacist on duty wouldn't dispense it because of religious and moral objections. I loathe these people. The morally bankrupt, ethically dead, so-called pro-life movement has gotten to the point now that it feels like a woman who has been raped has to carry the baby to term. I mean, that's what that means, doesn't it? Isn't that getting back to... Is there any difference in that and telling a woman, well, you know, you's dressed that way, you deserved it. Or, well, she's asking for it. She's 20 years old, this young lady. She said, I was so shocked. I just didn't understand how they could legally refuse to do this. Frankly, any pharmacist who refuses this this kind of thing should have their license pulled. This is not a moral issue. This is not an ethical issue. She had a valid prescription written by a doctor licensed by the state of Arizona to dispense medication. And some religious fanatic who wouldn't know Jesus Christ if he came up and shook his hand or hers said, "Not gonna let you have it." Does that rankle just a little bit? And this is the crowd that our governor, the governor that I voted for, and a lot of other pro-freedom Democrats voted for. This is the crowd that he is going to go and rub elbows and God knows what else with in Morgantown. Do you understand? Frankly, it's more heartbreaking to me to see a Democrat doing this than to see a damned Republican doing it. I expect it from a dead from the neck up, ethically, morally bankrupt Republican. I don't expect it from someone who calls himself a Democrat. Family planning agencies say they've seen a 60% increase in demand for the drug in recent years. Women who report sexual assaults to police receive treatment, examination, and the immediate offer of emergency contraception in a local emergency room, according to the policy of most of the hospitals in Tucson, Arizona. But this woman, 20 years old, she didn't report the assault because she was so traumatized by she felt guilty. Yeah, they're winning. She felt like she deserved it. She felt guilty for being raped. She felt guilty she had put herself in a situation that left her vulnerable. What happened? She was at a friend's house and was mistakenly locked outside, and she accepted the offer of a neighbor to stay at his place. And he raped her. And some pharmacist who thinks that Jesus doesn't want him to dispense a pill said, "No, lady, you need to have that baby. You can give it up for adoption, you know." Sickening. All right, time for our top of the hour break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The number of deaths from this disease are actually declining. Declining because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings, which detect the disease at its earliest and most curable stages. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Women over 40 need to schedule their annual mammograms now. And if you're a woman of any age and are at risk, talk to your doctor. You can find easy-to-understand information from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
Why should she go out when the TV's on? Whatever moves beyond these walls, she'll know the facts when Sunday comes along. If you wanna know about the mad punk fuckers, if you wanna know how to play guitar, if you wanna know about any other suckers, you can read it in the Sunday papers.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right. So, maybe I've got this problem licked. I'm hoping maybe I've got this problem licked with the phones. Thanks, everybody, by the way, for tolerating the whole tech dress rehearsal week that this is. I appreciate it, because it's important to know that there are people out there who can hear me screwing up. So let's give out the phone number again, just for giggles. 877-4-HEAD-ON or 304-658-5453. Either one gets through. See, that's the cool thing. I can hear you guys fine, or could. You just couldn't hear me, so I don't know. Maybe it's a one-sided conversation kind of thing. Usually, if you listen to talk radio, it's going the other way. So, if you want to, we'll try it again. And once you hear the click, or if there's no click, or whatever, start talking if you've got something on your mind. Work for you? Works for me. Great. Let's see. Now, we were talking about this debacle in Arizona, and there. Okay. Let's. Hey. Let's get all experimental and see if the phones work. Head on. Hey, you're head on. Anything? Anybody? Hello? Oh, maybe that'll work. Hey.
Bob?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Beautiful. Hey, David, how you doing?
Fine.
Can we have a hallelujah chorus or a descending army of angels or something? I figured it out all by my little lonesome self.
Wonderful.
Nah, it was the power outage last night.
Mm.
I took the break to unplug everything, replug it up, and let it return to its default settings.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, he can be taught. Good to hear from you. How you doing?
Doing good. I'm glad that you're back on the air. It's all the loss of talk on the station. is deafening, really.
Well, it is. And I particularly, and for those who are outside the area, you may have heard, and you know, there are people listening all over the country. Dr. Bill's absence particularly hurt me because I felt like he was probably, of me, Steve O'Brien, and him, important to the three, because he had to establish dialogue.
Yeah, that's what I miss a lot. And, you know, I called in there when I had the time, and I listened all the time, and, yeah, it is a big vacuum. It's a big void, and it's a shame.
Well, you know, I certainly can't speak for Bill. I know it was a frustrating circumstance, but I'll say this much, David. You know, as far as nighttime talk radio is concerned over there, you've got a choice between me or Michael Savage. And the more people that dial that phone up and say, "Look, you know, Bob's up and running. Let's take Bob."
Well, I've come to the conclusion that, well, I mean, I always had felt this way, but, you know, even if I didn't agree with you or whatever, to squelch the dialogue, to not be able to hear the way that you feel or the way that others feel, even though I don't agree with it, you don't hear that. At least I don't have an avenue to really...
No.
Hear how people like yourself feel, and I believe to squelch that voice in some way harms us all.
Well, I think so, too, and if you look at it from the other side, David, you can see what's gone on for years. I mean, I'm a little bit like you in that regard. You know, if I'm driving down the road between noon and 3, I'll listen to the to Rush. Frankly, I do it because, for the very same reason, I like to see what the other side's doing. And that's kind of important to me. And for, you know, 20, 25 years, it has been as though there was no progressive thought on the radio airwaves.
Well, I apparently, you know, I assessed this the other day, I get more out of listening to the opposition. In other words, to a certain extent, I enjoy more listening to the opposition, and it helps me formulate what I believe and to have a dialogue and to be able to talk about those things. More than when you listen to someone you agree with.
Well, yeah, because at that point it's an echo chamber, isn't it?
It can get a little boring because, yeah, it's everything you believe.
And there's, I mean, if you're a thinking person, there's only so many times going down the road you can say, "Yeah, by golly, mega dittos."
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do like him, but I was thinking of something else.
Savage, that kind of thing.
I don't know, for some reason I enjoy listening to opposition, and Bill was non-offensive, you know, to particularly the other side, where you could sit there and listen and objectively involve in the dialogue. I wish that, you know, I guess there's no chance that's going to ever fix itself, is it?
Well, I wouldn't jump that gun if I were you, David, because this operation here, as soon as I figure out how everything works, or as soon as Agnes and I figure out how everything works, is going to grow. I mean, what we're in right now, what you're listening to, is literally... You ever fool around with theater at all?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, then you know what a tech dress rehearsal is.
Yeah.
That's where you're finding out if the lights light and if the if the sound sounds and if the blanks go off in the murderer's pistol.
Uh-huh.
That's what this is. And starting in hopefully. Within the space of a week, we will be on some stations in West Virginia. So, you know, and that's what all this is making sure we've got it right before we give it to them. And, you know, I would be thrilled to death to let WWNR have this show. And I think there are a lot of people out there who would be thrilled to death to be able to tune it in. And if they'll just pick up the phone and call and say, "Listen, you know, we're going to... Either we turn the radio off, or you give us, give us Bob."
Well, like I said, even though I'm a staunch conservative, I'm not sure it serves the greater good to only have one representation.
Well, and you're absolutely right, David, because if you think back to, you know what the Fairness Doctrine was.
Yeah, well, the same thing in politics. That's why constitutionally we have divided form of government.
Right.
As much as, you know, either one of us would like to say, boy, it'd be nice if we could just totally dominate. If, you know, if one person you know, we know that absolute power corrupts absolutely.
And
when you don't have, you know, whether you like it or not, having the opposition party creates ideas and legislation that pulls towards the center. And that, you know, that keeps, for the most part, extreme legislation from going forward.
Right, and we've seen some examples of that, and I hope the country's swinging back toward what Mark Warner, governor of Virginia, is calling the sensible center. I'm no wild-eyed commie. I believe that everybody deserves a fair shake in the United States, you know, not just a handful. And as a consequence of that, I think if we can engage the rest of the country in the dialogue, we'll be better off. You know, I mentioned the fairness doctrine. You're about my age. You're in your early to mid 40s. You probably remember as a kid seeing some television station, and the general manager comes on and says, "And now here's Harley Schmo with an opposing viewpoint to my editorial of last week."
Mm-hmm.
Remember that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen because there were generous-spirited television general managers out there, David. That happened because there was a fairness doctrine. And it said, if you're gonna give one side, by God, you have to give the other. And that was done away with about 25 years ago.
Yeah, and if the speculation, I'd be the first one to object to it. If the speculation is correct as to the real underlying reasons that you were let go, that only plays something particularly on the airway.
Well, David, I know a little bit. Everything that was told me said it was financial. Other people have come to me and told me different things, however, that were at least, well, perhaps circumstantial, but certain people being, upbraided at meetings and, "You got to get him off the air, he's killing us," you know, that kind of thing.
Well, you know, I would like to be, you know, just as I, as a conservative, would like the opportunity to propose my opinions and be respected and not called names.
Sure.
I think the reverse is true.
Well, you know, you and I have had our moments, but you know, daggum, unless this is just the ladies' sewing circle, we're going to have disagreements.
Right.
But there are things we can agree on. You know, we can agree that hungry people ought to be fed. You know, if you look at, you know, if you look at the things that Christ taught, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, but debate can be intellectual debate without, you know, condescending. You know.
Well, sure it can. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Listen, David, it's great to hear from you. I do have to hit this break, though, because I'm trying to get religious about that, too.
Oh, okay. The reason why I called in, and you can hit it later since you got to go, but I don't understand why you can't respect Manchin's personal beliefs, even though he's a Democrat.
Well, yeah, and I will respond to that, but I respect his personal beliefs, but they need to be personal. He doesn't need to be up there spitting on the rest of us who voted for him. And that's what he's doing. He's slapping me in the face, David.
Okay.
All right, later.
All right.
Bye now. Hallelujah. Darn thing works. And, David, thanks for your persistence in trying to help me make sure that it works. I'll tell you what, let's do take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Got 50,000 watts in a big acoustic tower. Security's so tight tonight. Oh, they're ready for a tussle. Gotta keep your backstage passes. Cause your promoter has a muscle.
And so it goes.
And so it goes.
And so it goes.
And so it goes. The way it's going, no one knows.
And so it goes.
And so it goes.
And so it goes.
And so it goes. Oh, where it's going, no one knows.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The deaths from this disease are actually declining. But we can't celebrate too soon. The reason deaths from breast cancer are declining is because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings. And it is those screenings that are detecting it earlier and earlier when it's most curable. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you're a woman over 40, take this opportunity to schedule your annual mammogram. If you're a woman of any age and are at high risk for developing breast cancer, talk to your doctor about how often you should receive screening mammograms. And share this with your sisters, mothers, wives, and daughters. If you need more information, it is easily available at www.radiologyinfo.org. Breast cancer deaths are on the decline. Let's keep it that way. Get the information you need about mammography screening from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then keep your home smoke-free, because secondhand smoke can trigger your child's asthma attacks. Even as little as a puff or two can trigger an attack. So make a new house rule. No smoking indoors, even when the kids are out of the house or in another room. Toss the matches, hide the ashtrays, and put your foot down. If you're going to smoke, you're going to smoke outside, because smoke can linger for longer than you think. And just a little secondhand smoke can be enough to trigger an asthma attack. The same goes for the car. A couple of puffs in a space that small is more than enough to cause trouble. So stub it out before you step in. Hey, it takes a lot of willpower to quit smoking, but it can take a lot less to quit smoking in the house, and it can make a big difference to a child with asthma. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. Brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
I feel so much better now. Golly, this is great. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. And the phones work? Wow. The phones work. I'm here. All is right with the world, except for the fact I got to quit smoking. Had one of those little hypocrite moments. Sitting there listening to that asthma PSA, and I was, yeah, well, I better put the cigarette. Oh! Okay, I got to buy some patches or something. All right, let's use it while it's working. Let's go back to the phones. Other David is with us. David from Tennessee. Hey, you're Head On.
Well, hello, Bob. You know, gee whiz, who was that Mark Twain about, I quit 100 times but started the next morning, some kind of a deal like that?
Yeah, quitting's easy. It's I've done it a million times.
Yep, exactly. Well, you know, I jokingly told the screener this was about nine-ball pool, and you know, a nine-ball pool, balls fly all over the place. You win, you lose, and didn't shrug your shoulders. And the opposite of nine ball is straight pool. You call the shot. Well, this is a call shot call.
Okay.
I'm going to walk everybody, you included, through a scenario, and at the end of this, you will agree, the middle will agree, and the right will agree that we don't have a president. We have a chimp in charge.
Wasn't there a TV show like that once upon a time?
I think so. If there wasn't, there will be soon. Let's do a little scenario type thing. I'm a guy. I'm just a guy. You know, not a bad guy, not a good guy. I've got a friend that's powerful. And my powerful friend calls up one day and says, you know, I've got even more power than I thought. Come to work for me. I've got a great job for you. Come on, do this thing. You know, you'll be in the background, make a bucket of money. and you'll always be there to watch my back and support me. And I go, well, sure. Well, lo and behold, I go, I take the job. Things are duck soup for, you know, year, 2 years, whatever, 6 months, doesn't matter. And the next thing you know, the bright light of, you got to do a good job, goes on. And suddenly, short version, I've done the worst job ever in the history of this position. I have hurt people. I have killed people. I have wasted money. There are thousands of folks going crazy all over the place. Now, in any rational scenario, my buddy says to me, David, you've done a lousy job. You've embarrassed me. My Lord, I've got to get rid of you. Go away and stay away. And I agree, and I go away and stay away. All right, in this scenario, my friend is George W. Bush. I'm playing the part of Brownie, the FEMA fella.
Sure.
Now then, he did all those things. People died. People didn't have what they needed from an agency that had been raped and mutilated by the Republican Party after Bill Clinton built it up to something that mattered.
Well, made it a cabinet-level position.
Precisely.
That was Bill's doing.
That was Bill's doing because he had seen in 1992 a mishandled hurricane and said, oh, my Lord, we got to fix that.
Yeah, time out. Wait. Whose mishandled hurricane was that? That was Andrew, right?
Precisely.
And that was another...
Your memory is only exceeded by, you know, the goodness of your eyes.
Yeah, thank you. But you're absolutely right. And, you know, I think about the old folks that died in those nursing homes. Because we're finding out now that most of the dead in New Orleans were old people.
Old or poor or both. Back to my little morality.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, in the real world, my buddy says, dadgummit, you know, I got some body parts showing your history. Get away from me. Lose my phone number. What does George Bush do? After telling Mr. Brown he'd done a great job, and then after denying he'd done a bad job, suddenly he goes away. Oh, well, does he go away? No. He's hired as a consultant in 30-day increments, Bob. He's just finished the first 30-day increment, and he has, and this is the reason for this call, he was renewed today, as he is likely to be in another 30 days. He was renewed again today another 30 days as a counselor, as a consultant, the phrase is, to FEMA, and a spokesman, none other than Nosferatu Chertoff.
Skeletor.
Exactly. Keep those fangs under that lip, son. Anyway, he says the new employees need to profit from his experience. Now, how about that? The guy that made the biggest FEMA mess, put the biggest in the punch bowl in the history of the agency, has been hired at his previous salary. Oh, hope you're sitting down. $140,000 a year.
Great work if you can get it.
He's hired at $140,000 a year to give bad advice to the new employees how to screw it up all over again. And Chertoff has a news conference saying it's a good idea. Now, then, that's the good news, Bob.
That's the good news?
That's the good news.
I can't stand the bad.
That's only one small department. It's a George Walker Bush operating system. It's not just a glitch in signing off your computer. It's the entire operating system. It's loyalty to friends. It's loyal to people that will smooch his rear end and say whatever they know he wants to hear. It's people that are loyal to him for a paycheck, for a ranch, for $5,000 a square foot for Houston Real Estate, wherever the city was, but, you know, what's her name got paid for? Bob, it's an operating system. It's George Bush's way. He's done it before. He'll do it again and again and again and again. He won't even...
Well, sure. That's Spectrum 7. That's Harkin. That's Arbusto Energy. That's the Texas Rangers. That's his rotten academic record at Andover. That's his rotten academic record at Yale. That's his rotten academic record as an MBA, you know, a low C MBA student at Harvard who got in on a legacy affirmative action.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it won't stop. It's going to continue, and it is only, I mean, everything he's ever screwed up, somebody bought him out of it. He's going to buy all his friends out of everything they screw up. Who's the victim, Bob?
That would be us.
Thank you.
140,000 divided by 12. What is that, 100 and...
It should be about $16,000 a month, $4,000 a week.
So that people can learn from his mistakes.
So that new employees can profit from his experience. That's a quote. Pick any newspaper, even the Washington Times, the most should-be illegal fish wrap on the planet. That was the quote out of the existing mouthpieces that are there. We want our new employees to learn and profit from his experience.
Oh, Lord. David, I'm not going to say anything beyond that. We're going to hit the break and let people chew on that for a little bit.
One last thought, and I've waited more than my lifetime to say this. Go White Sox.
What?
Go White Sox.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely go White Sox.
And the idea that Q-tip-headed witch sitting behind the home plate would have a little something extra to eat her liver about. Damn.
The Quaker Oats man.
Oh, exactly. See you, Bob.
Later, David. Bye now.
See ya.
Yeah, that's a beautiful photograph. That's a beautiful photograph of her on the $1 bill. All right, break time. We're getting better all the time, aren't we? This is Head On. The phone number, of course, 877-4, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. Little bottom of the hour time kill here as we get used to things. Hey, those phone numbers, learn them, know them. Use them. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more. You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people, grunt if you have to.
grunt?
Yeah, be like, there you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Ranger, why do you have to remind people to be careful with fire?
Well, Mr. Mountain Lion, sometimes people need to be reminded about certain things, like not to run with scissors or let children play with wild dingoes, and to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you're saying is that people can be careless and forgetful?
Pretty much.
That makes me very sad.
Sounds like someone needs a hug.
Back off or I'll turn your hat into confetti!
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
Back, I had an email during the break that was apparently dedicated from Poppy to his honey bunch. Ew, yuck. And I also had an email from one of our pals on the left coast. She tells us loud and clear, thanks, Jess. She says, I'm so happy for you getting your stream up and going. Good job, and congratulations. Little secret, she leans to the right wing side of things, but we're still friends. What a frabjous day this is for tree huggers and the bleeding heart liberals, and I got a big smile. Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. All right, now backing up just a minute, because there was a beyond the general outrage of the fact that our governor here in the wild, wonderful West Virginia is going to be out hobnobbing with a bunch of control fetishists who are fascinated with women's insides. Beyond that, I have a theory, and I'd like to share it with you. Now, we've seen it here in West Virginia. Here it is going on in Arizona. It goes on in Texas. It's going on all over the country because this is a genuine movement. It's a movement, all right? And that is these pharmacists who are trying to do an end run on Griswold versus Connecticut by stopping women from being able to get contraception. Now, here is how we deal with these freaks. This is easy. The next time somebody has a prescription for, like, antibiotics, he or she needs to first ask the pharmacist. And, you know, you gotta have a little bit of guile about you when you do this. You look at him, you got your script in your hand, and you say, now, I'm pro-life. I won't do business with you if you're not pro-life. Do you refuse to dispense the morning after pill because it causes silent abortions? Now, when the pharmacist looks at you and says, why, yes, ma'am, I'm pro-life. I morally refuse to help women who've been raped. You look at him and you say, psych, gotcha, punked. And then you write down the pharmacist's name and you keep a list, and then you write a letter to the editor, gently making a stink. Now, you got to do it this way, okay? Because since they're phony Christians in the first place, they could easily lie to you and claim that they're not pro-life if you walk up and tell them, you know, I believe a woman should control her own insides. Do you? They might lie to you. But if you act like you're one of them, if you act like you're part of the cabal, if you play their game, they'll look at you and they'll smile and go, yeah, I'm for life too. And then they're stuck. Of course, the other thing that'll give them away is that children of the corn look they get on their face. You know it. You've seen it a million times. Bless Jesus and the little unborn infants and screw them when they're born. That's how you deal with them. That's how I'm going to deal with them. Every time we've got a prescription, I'm going to make a point of going to different places. You're ethically opposed to giving out that morning after pill, aren't you? And that children of the corn pod person looks, comes over there. Yes, I am. Punked. Gotcha. And then you file a complaint on them with the Board of Pharmacy. You got to understand, these people want to rule America. These people want to rule the world, and they want to rule the world in the name of their sick, twisted, bizarre version of what they think is Christianity. Okay? Do this. It works. It's easy. You don't even have to sit down or be arrested or anything. You don't even have to give your name. You just say, gotcha. Go call your lawyer because you're going to be answering a pharmacy board complaint, you jerk. These people need to be shown that they cannot run roughshod over us normal people. Do you get Rolling Stone? Okay, yeah, I'm a 40-something, but, you know, once in a while. There's an interview with Bono. Not Bono. Not the drug-addled Republican who slammed into a tree while he was skiing because he was whacked out of his mind on painkillers. Bono from U2. There's an interview, Jan Winter, the head man at Rolling Stone, did the interview. And in that interview, Bono says, and I quote, these people, fundamentalists, want to change the world. They want their lives to have meaning. And it's one of the things that the Democratic Party has missed out on. Okay, without the accent. These people, fundamentalists, want to change the world. They want their lives to have meaning. And it's one of the things that the Democratic Party has missed out on. Dude, Bono, we didn't miss out on diddly, okay? We know these ugly little fascists want to change the world. They want to change it until they rule it, Bono, and you'll get the sword, buddy, because you're not quite as holy as they are. Democrats, yeah, we've known it all along. We didn't miss out on it. That's why we don't want anything to do with them. You know, Bono, ruling the world, wanting to rule it, is not a virtue. And, newsflash! Those people who rule the world seldom care about those who suffer in it. He goes on in this interview to say, Jesse Helms, you know, publicly repents for the way he thinks about AIDS. Really? Charming. He repented of how he thought about AIDS, but he didn't do anything about fighting it. Think about that for a minute. Jesse Helms told Bono that he didn't think of AIDS anymore as being what? You know, a queer disease? A judgment from God? What? Jeepers, how gullible does one rock star have to be? Here's the bottom line. Somebody needs to tell Bono that faith without proof, like works, is dead. Can we do that? Sometimes you're just going to do that. The phone number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366, locally 304-658-5453. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to Scouts of USA.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
Little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
Are you a safe miner? If so, you may be eligible to receive official professional miner recognition. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. If you've worked 3 years or more in the mining industry without incurring a lost time workplace injury, you can be recognized as a professional miner. Professional miners are a tremendously valuable resource to the mining industry because of their proven ability to work in a hazardous environment yet remain injury-free. Professional miners stay injury-free because they are experts at recognizing and eliminating hazards. Professional miners always wear their personal protective equipment. Professional miners always conduct thorough workplace examinations. And professional miners always make the right decision where matters of safety and health are concerned. Call your local MSHA office and ask them about the professional miner recognition. Thank you for listening.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
All right, thanks for sticking around. Welcome back. This is the Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, doing this sort of on my own this evening. And having a pretty good time, too. Hey, we got over the phone hang-up. And things are working just swimmingly. So, you know, there's not a lot to complain about. The phone number is 877-4-HEAD-ON. The number 4, head-on, 877-443-2366. And locally, 304-658-5453. Learn it, know it, use it. Email to bob@headonradio.com, but you probably know that. Now, in the time remaining before the top of the hour, there's something else out there that needs to be touched upon, at least. And that I don't know if you noticed, there was a bombing in Israel today, a breaking of the fragile, what passes for peace in that godforsaken area. And truly, I believe it is godforsaken. And at the same time, Michael Bolton, that dude with the porn star mustache, our erstwhile ambassador to the United Nations, got all persnickety and decided that he could call out the Syrian president, who is a punk and a thug. You know, they are all, you know, maybe some of the federal, the Bush administration's pronouncements about the Middle East were true. By invading Iraq, we really have gathered all the scumbags in one place. George Bush, Assad of Syria, Ahmed Chalabi, Ariel Sharon. All the dirty little killers have just come together in a little club. But Bolton was out there saying, if Assad has time, if Mr. Assad has time to speak with the media, he has time to speak with Mr. Mellis. Mr. Mellis being the UN inspector who is investigating the murder of Rafiq Hariri in Lebanon. And I tend to agree with the sentiment, but it was the way it was put out there. That the United States, being superior overlord of the world, could order the leader of another sovereign state. But then again, we can order them around, because we can, if they don't toe the mark, we can damn sure bomb the snot out of them and kill 100,000 of their civilians. So that was there. Tough talk from a tough man. You know, what did that dude throw at one of his subordinates? A notebook, a coffee cup, something like that? And we let him go to the United Nations anyway? What a creep. So, with that as the backdrop, today, not too awfully far to the east, the Iranian president, whose name I will not even attempt, called for Israel to, quote, be wiped off the map, unquote. That's pretty nasty and evil. But you know why the president of Iran can do that? If you chew on it for a minute, you will. The president of Iran feels comfortable in coming out and saying Israel should be wiped off the map. Why? I'll tell you why. Because he knows the coward king is in charge of the United States. He knows that dear leader got himself a little war that he desperately wanted and now has no idea how to get out of, has 160,000 American troops committed in Iraq and who are stuck there, for God's sakes, and can't do a blessed thing about it. We're all tied up. So, consequently, the president of Iran can say that Israel should be wiped off the map because he knows that dear leader can't do a daggum thing about it. Makes sense, doesn't it? You gotta say, it does. We can't attack Iran. Hell, Iraq rolled over and played dead and we can't beat them. You know why? Because what we did was wrong. And for those who believe that there is a natural progression to things and that good does triumph over evil, starting that war was evil, and it cannot therefore triumph. The war was lost the day it was started. Hearts and minds. But because we have decimated our National Guard and our reserves and have so many of our regular military troops tied up over there, this goofy little punk in Iran can say that Israel should be wiped off the map. Because he knows that in George Bush, he is dealing with the flimsiest of paper tigers. Now, meanwhile, on the other hand, Dim Sun did go out today and threaten Syria, saying that we would use force if need be to compel President Assad to cooperate. And that's a little bit easier because, well, we're already dropping bombs inside Syria. The action's already started. Because the border area with Syria and Iraq is not controlled by the so-called Iraqi government. It's not controlled by us. It's just as tribal as it's ever been. Where does it end? When do we get a government that cares as much about Americans as it does Iraq, or Iran, or Syria, or Lebanon? Well, the truth of the matter is, we don't get a government that cares that way. Because first and foremost, our government is concerned with oil. And we would rather go on and bully and be big bully of the block and take it where we can get it than try to figure out a way to get off the Jones. You know, breaking any addiction is difficult. I mean, I made a joke about cigarettes a little bit ago. I recognize the fact that I'm addicted to the nasty stuff, and I have to quit. Us as a nation, do we have that we are addicted to fossil fuel chemicals? Or would we just, you know, just like dear leader's multi-trillion dollar debt, would we just as soon pass that addiction along to the next generation too? It wears you out. It kind of wears you out. It's kind of a rotten thing to pass on to an 8-year-old or a not yet born. Hey, by the way, where's the pro-life movement in this? Where is the pro-life movement that Joe Manchin is going to go and hobnob and rub elbows and various and sundry other things with? Where are they when it comes to talking about passing along our national Jones to another generation? By God, I bet you if you went up in that parking lot and Joe's going to, and I'm sure he'll be taking his SUV with him, I'll bet you would find it wall-to-wall gas guzzlers. Praise Jesus. Wouldn't you? Oh, brother. Let's take a break.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The number of deaths from this disease are actually declining. Declining because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings, which detect the disease at its earliest and most curable stages. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Women over 40 need to schedule their annual mammograms now. And if you're a woman of any age and are at risk, talk to your doctor. You can find easy-to-understand information from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
Nationality and principality have come for a piece of the pie. I'm sitting in the wreck of Europe with a map of Europe, and the lines and the borders are gone. Gotta do this jigsaw puzzle, it's an awful muddle, but somehow we gotta go on. Lawrence of Arabia is waiting in the wings. He's got some Arab sheikhs and kings, and we're in debt to them somehow. Lawrence of Arabia has got this perfect vision, gonna sell him down the river, there's no time for him now. I think I'm gonna take a piece of Russia and a piece of Germany and give them to Poland again. I'll put together Yugoslavia and Czechoslovakia and hope that is how they'll remain. Then I'll take a bit of Turkey, then a lot of Turkey, this is all quite a heady affair. Push around Iraq to pick up, and there's Churchill's hiccup, and we can't leave it up in the air. Woodrow Wilson waves his 14 points around and says the time to act is now, won't get this opportunity again. Woodrow Wilson has his 14 points, but Clemenceau turns to Lloyd George and says, you know that God himself had only 10. By a league of notions, by a league of emotions, I don't think I quite understand. I only know from this commotion, there's a chance that we could turn the world in the palm of our hands. I'm carried by a league of notions, by a league of emotions, I don't think I quite understand. I only know from this commotion, there's a chance that we could turn the world in the palm of our hands. Thank you.
that moves in a strange way. I just want someone to talk to. Don't leave me here on such a lonely day. Don't leave me here on such a lonely
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us or joining us or just whatever it is you've done. I'm Bob Kincaid. You heard the phone numbers there. Man, that's cool. Try to add a little bit every night till we've got this thing like sterling. So it is about 6 minutes after the hour. We've got, 54 minutes left in the evening. Knock yourself out. Wear the phones out. They work, you know. All right, moving along. Because I got a stack here that just won't quit. Oh, let's see. Yeah, budget cuts. Paying attention? They're doing it again. From today's Washington Post. Republicans began targeting key programs for budget cuts yesterday. From student loans and health care, and my friends at the West Virginia Citizens Action Group sent out an advisory today about those very student loan cuts that are being proposed. Yeah, well, what do you poor middle-class people need with education? Don't need an education. You can go to work in the oil fields in Iraq. A lot of good money to be made there. See, that's my passing attempt at Dick Cheney. Now, what is it that they're after? These fine, upstanding, good, godly, morally superior Republicans. Why, they're after child support enforcement. Don't you love that? Why should those deadbeat dads? You know how it works. Tell you what, let's go to the phones and find out how they're working. Oh, drat. You're going to have that sometimes. No, child support. They're after child support enforcement. The House Ways and Means Committee began drafting today legislation that would save, oh my aching back, about $8 billion over 5 years, eight times the $1 billion target the panel was given in the spring. Now, Ways and Means Chairman Bill Thomas, who is a waste of air and space on planet Earth, he's a Republican from California, he wants to cut back federal aid to state child support enforcement programs, limit federal payments to some foster care families, and he wants to, here's the best part, here's the really compassionate, conservative, Republican response to tough times in America. He wants to cut welfare payments to the disabled. I mean, look, let's just deal with it. They're not. This is the Scrooge party, okay? Anybody. I mean, we've all seen, heard, read A Christmas Carol. And before his conversion, what is it that Ebenezer Scrooge says when someone comes to him for a donation for the poor? Well, let's say it like Flemball says it. The poor. What does he say? What? Are the workhouses closed now? Are there no more workhouses for the poor? Screw these people. Screw Bill Thomas. Now, the child support enforcement proposal is going to change the federal matching rate for child support enforcement from a 66% share to a 50% share. And that's going to knock off $3.8 billion through 2010. And God only knows what it's going to do to the already born children who are being left out in the cold by deadbeat daddies and mommies. And on the other hand, see, you got to remember what Ronald Reagan said. I mean, he said a lot of stupid things, but among some of the right up there with, ketchup is a vegetable, was when he looked up and said,
facts are stupid things.
Facts are stupid things, and here's a stupid fact. In considering Bill Thomas's plan to screw child support enforcement, the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, which supposedly is nonpartisan, says that the cut in child support enforcement aid would result in a 5-year drop in child support collections of $6 billion, nearly $17 billion over 10 years. So he wants to cut it $3.8 billion so he can lose $17 billion. But what the hell do you want? This is a government that thinks trillion-dollar deficits are good for America. This is a government that believes that screwing retired miners out of their pensions and their health care is good for America. This is an administration that believes that sending millions of American jobs to Bangladesh and India, where people work for pennies on the dollar, is good for America. Screw them all. And then there are the Medicaid cuts. Now, bear in mind, our good spit in the face of the rest of the Democrats' pro-life governor, who calls himself a Democrat. Now, Joe Manchin was asked to sit on a destroying Medicaid commission as a governor by the Bush administration. The other Democratic governors, at least most of them, that had been asked to do the same thing, said, "Are you kidding? Are you out of your mind? I'm not going to participate in the destruction of something that takes care of the most vulnerable of our society." Joe said, "I'm up! Pick me! Pick me! I can sit on the commission right after I get back from rubbing elbows and various and sundry other things with a bunch of people who don't give a damn about living babies! Pick me!" Equally controversial will be cuts to the growth of Medicaid under consideration in the House Energy and Commerce Committee. The committee's plan, to be formally drafted tomorrow, would slice $3 billion over 5 years from Medicaid prescription drug payments and more than $6 billion from other parts of the program. Committee aides framed the cuts as marginal. They're just marginal. Even with them, Medicaid spending will grow 7% through the end of the decade. Oh, my God. So, yeah, it's going to grow through the end of the decade, but it's not going to grow as much as it needs to grow. And the governor of the great state of West Virginia is going to be there to help do the knife work. Shame on him. And, you know, Jay Rockefeller came out and called him on it and said, no. Don't do it, Joe. Don't do it. Don't participate with these killers. If you lie down with dogs, you get up with fleas. Don't do it. Joe said, listen, I gotta go have dinner with the pasty-faced, doughy people who want to control other people's innards. Lord God, Billy Bob. Well, you know the phone number, 877-4, the number 4, head on, or 304-658-5453. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. We got to do a little break, and after that we'll come back and, hey, look, it's Harriet Myers.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The deaths from this disease are actually declining. But we can't celebrate too soon. The reason deaths from breast cancer are declining is because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings. And it is those screenings that are detecting it earlier and earlier when it's most curable. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you're a woman over 40, take this opportunity to schedule your annual mammogram. If you're a woman of any age and are at high risk for developing breast cancer, talk to your doctor about how often you should receive screening mammograms. And share this with your sisters, mothers, wives, and daughters. If you need more information, it is easily available at www.radiologyinfo.org. Breast cancer deaths are on the decline. Let's keep it that way. Get the information you need about mammography screening from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then keep your home smoke-free. Because secondhand smoke can trigger your child's asthma attacks. Even as little as a puff or two can trigger an attack. So make a new house rule. No smoking indoors. Even when the kids are out of the house or in another room. Toss the matches, hide the ashtrays, and put your foot down. If you're gonna smoke, you're gonna smoke outside. Because smoke can linger for longer than you think. And just a little secondhand smoke can be enough to trigger an asthma attack. The same goes for the car. A couple of puffs in a space that small is more than enough to cause trouble. So stub it out before you step in. Hey, it takes a lot of willpower to quit smoking, but it can take a lot less to quit smoking in the house. And it can make a big difference to a child with asthma. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. Because no child should feel like a fish out of water. Brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
I knew a girl who was almost a lady. She had a way with all the men in her life. Every inch of her blossom and beauty. She was born on the 4th of July. Well, she lived in an aluminum house trailer. And she worked in a jukebox saloon. And she spent all the money that I give her just to see the old man in the moon. I used to sleep at the foot of Old Glory and awake in the dawn's early light. But much to my surprise, when I opened my eyes, I was a victim of the Great Compromise.
And aren't we all? Welcome back. I'm Bob Kincaid. Almost 20 minutes after the hour in our final hour of tonight's Wednesday Night Prayer Meeting edition. And let's see, Ben's with us. Hey, Ben, you're head on.
Hey there, Bob.
How you doing?
You're doing just great. You know, your comment about doughy-faced people reminds me, you know, Civil War history. There were people in the North, members of Congress and some senators, who were essentially doing the work of the South. They were voting with the South on every issue relating to slavery, and they voted with the South on the territory bills to, you know, get slavery extended into the new territories. And there was a name for these people. It was rather disparaging. They were called dough faces.
Really?
Really. So that goes way back. And, you know, I think these same people are the ones now, I mean, the same sort of person who would have been doing that back then, especially because I really think that Roe v. Wade was decided on the wrong issue. It was decided on the right to privacy. I think it should have been decided on the 13th Amendment.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. And I've get you mean in terms of
it's not being enslaved. Not being enslaved. If you have the ability to force a woman to carry a pregnancy to term, you have enslaved her.
Well, sure, and take it one step further. Beyond that, how about the Fourth Amendment, the right to be secure in one's persons, papers, and effects?
That's good, but it's not usually the way that's been interpreted. So
I know.
But you know, I think the 13th is stronger, but I would make the Fourth as a secondary argument if I were going to make that argument.
And you can even fall back on, what is it, the 10th with the penumbra in it?
Yeah, if anyone even pays attention to the 9th and 10th Amendments anymore.
I know. They're like... what, wilted flowers in the garden?
That's right.
But I guess maybe some people could take offense at my characterization of the pro-life movement. But I've seen, you know, Ben, I've seen these people.
I've seen them too. I've run into them firsthand. I did clinic defense.
If you light a cigarette around them, they'll all go up in flame from all the damn polyester. I mean, and God knows the spray that goes into the beehive hairdos.
Well, it's really very funny that, you know, these women are trying to control, who are trying to control other women's sexuality, are women you couldn't imagine wanting to have sex with under any circumstances.
Yeah, I know, and there's a certain amount of irony because, you know, Flush Flimball, the oxymoron, he refers to the National Organization for Women now as the National Association of Gals, NAGS, and says that the only reason that feminists... are out there is because they're, you know, they make a big noise because they're too ugly to get a date. It's not, no.
That's not been my experience.
Nor has it been mine. It's these people that sit around and my God, I mean, and never mind the women. Let's step back from that for a minute, Ben. Without fail, it's almost always men standing out there, and that tells me what it's all about. It's about control. It's about barefoot and pregnant. Right?
You betcha. The concerned women for America, that's a front group for a bunch of men.
Well, they're run by a man.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name right off the top of my head, but you know,
LaHaye.
Is it LaHaye?
Yeah, it's the guy who wrote all those horrible those rapture novels. Left behind things.
I know their chief counsel is a guy, their spokesman is a guy, their president is a guy, and they're all concerned women for America. That's why I say that a lot of the so-called pro-life movement, I believe, is comprised of really hateful, closeted transsexuals or transgendered people.
You may be correct.
Ben, thanks so much. Good to hear from you.
You take care, sir.
All right, bye now.
Bye-bye.
Ah, doggone it, I had a caller online too, and you gave up on me. Well, see, you got to have a little patience. Hey, there are talk shows out there where people wait for 3 freaking hours to get a chance to get on. But I have to deal with the impatient people. Come on, guys, cut me a break. Speaking of women no one could ever imagine having sex with, Harriet Myers. The drumbeat of doubt from Republican senators over the Supreme Court nomination of Harriet Myers grew louder Tuesday as several lawmakers, including a pivotal conservative on the Judiciary Committee, joined those expressing concerns about her selection. I mean, gee whiz, when you have to send her back to redo the questionnaire, and don't bring it back until you've got it right. Senator John Thune, the Republican from South Dakota, said that Ms. Myers now had a question mark. But here's the best part. Senator Jeff Sessions of the great state of Alabama. Jeff Sessions. This is the guy who came out and advertised for any dead rich people out of Katrina so that he could use it as an excuse for bolstering their argument about eliminating the estate tax. Yeah, that Jeff Sessions. I'm uneasy about where we are, said Senator Jeff Sessions, an Alabama Republican on the Judiciary Committee who had so far expressed only support for the president's choice. Some conservative people are concerned. That is pretty obvious. Oh, this is just bad. And meanwhile, you do know, don't you, and I'm sure you do, this is fairly old, you do know that, it was put out there when Bush flip-flopped after saying that a religious view should never be part of the consideration in a nomination process. They said that about Roberts when we found out that he was one of those bizarre Opus Dei types. Well, then he put out Harriet Myers' so-called faith, and the whole bio went, well, you know, she was raised Catholic, but then she went to Evangelista or whatever. It turns out that's another lie. The Roman Catholic Diocese of Dallas came out and said that Harriet Myers has never been a Catholic. Never, not once, not even a little bit. Never even had the little cracker. A review of records for such sacraments as baptism, first Eucharist, and confirmation found no evidence that Harriet Myers or anyone in her immediate family was Catholic. That was last Friday. Liars, liars, all of them. Tell you what, let's take a break.
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more. You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Ranger, why do you have to remind people to be careful with fire?
Well, Mr. Mountain Lion, sometimes people need to be reminded about certain things, like not to run with scissors or let children play with wild dingoes, and to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you're saying is that people can be careless and forgetful?
Pretty much.
That makes me very sad.
Sounds like someone needs a hug.
Back off or I'll turn your hat into confetti!
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service's State Forester, and the Ag Council.
3 months ago, I was in Rome, Italy, not New York. I don't know what I was doing there. I was just there. And, I got the sandwich one day, and they gave me a newspaper with it. It was the only newspaper they had there that was in English. And they had all the news from all around the world just crammed into four pages. Didn't even have any funnies in there, you know. Every time you turn a page, something just jumped right out at you, you know. So I found an old friend in there, and I wrote her a song. It's for Dear Abby. Dear Abby, dear Abby, my feet are too long. My hair's falling out and my rights are all wrong. My friends, they all tell me they have no friends at all. Won't you write me a letter? Won't you give me a call? Signed, Bewildered. Bewildered, bewildered, you have no complaint. You are what you are, and you ain't what you ain't. So listen up, Buster, and listen up good. Stop wishing for bad luck and knocking on wood. Dear Abby, my fountain pen leaks. My wife hollers at me, and my kids are all freaks. Every side I get up on is the wrong side of bed. If it weren't so expensive, I'd wish I were dead. Signed, Unhappy. Unhappy, unhappy, you have no complaint. You are what you are, and you ain't what you ain't. So listen up, Buster, and listen up good. Stop wishing for bad luck and knocking on wood. Dear Abby, dear Abby, dear Abby, dear Abby, dear Abby, dear Abby, you won't believe this, but my stomach makes noises whenever I kiss. My girlfriend tells me it's all in my head, but my stomach tells me to write you instead. Signed, Noisemaker. Noisemaker, noisemaker, you have no complaint. You are what you are, and you ain't what you ain't. So listen up, Buster, and listen up good. Stop wishing for bad luck and knocking on wood. Dear Abby, well, I never thought that me and my girlfriend would ever get caught. We were sitting in the back seat just shooting the breeze, with her hair up in curlers and her pants to her knees. Signed, Just Married. Just married, just married, you have no complaint. You are what you are, and you ain't what you ain't. So listen up, Buster, and listen up good. Stop wishing for bad luck and knocking on wood. Signed, Dear Abby.
All right, welcome back. The final half hour of tonight's Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and the phone numbers, well, you know them by now, don't you? 877-4-HEAD-ON and 5453, because we're still working out the 3333 number, because it's not hunting. That's the technical term, I'm told. The number is not hunting. So, If you want to get a last parting shot in, you got about 25 minutes to try it. So by all means, feel free to knock yourself out. But barring that, well, I thought you might like to hear some numbers. This came to me in an email from our good friend Clarence down in Burlington, North Carolina. Oh, okay. We will go to the phones. Is that all right with you? It's okay with me.
Hey, you're head on. Who have I got? Wayne.
Hey, Wayne, what's going on, man?
First of all, I have to confess, I'm the guy that bailed out on you.
Oh, okay.
My water was boiling, man.
Is that a euphemism, or that you really had water boiling on the kitchen stove?
No, water boiling.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, anyway. Davis Bacon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, we won.
Yeah, we did. I was really impressed. You know, I don't know if, I think I mentioned that the other night that, you know, Miller found some way to force this vote.
Right.
And, you know, it was all over the internet. George Bush and, well, different representatives and senators and everybody got bunches of email. So, you know, there were all kind of labor websites doing that and stuff.
Yeah.
So that was a real, you know, real good thing. But I think it's fair to mention, and should be mentioned, that thing couldn't have happened without 37 Republicans.
Okay, fair enough, yeah.
And
they took ship.
Yeah, they did. Well, there's at least 37 of them that realize people have to have a living wage and be able to have health insurance and pensions and things like that. And, you know, it's a very interesting thing, the whole Davis-Bacon Act. Davis and Bacon were both Republicans.
True.
One of them was a senator from Pennsylvania. I forget which one. I got it. Davis.
Okay.
His name, James Puddler Jim Davis, a senator from Pennsylvania. I don't know what that is. Puddler. And then Bacon was from Long Island, was Republican. Herbert Hoover was the Republican president. The Senate and the House were controlled by the Republicans. Now, is that when Republicans had sense?
Well, it's apparently when they weren't evil.
I could certainly agree with that.
It's when they weren't more concerned with bowing and kowtowing to religious and philosophical special interests than they were in doing the country's business. I think that's pretty obvious.
Yes, it is. But anyway, I think that's a very interesting history. And I think what happened with Miller and a bunch of other people, it's a wonderful thing. Now, every Democrat was on board with it, Democrat,
yeah.
And then 37 Republicans.
Well, maybe it would be, if somebody out there could do the legwork on it, it'd be nice to know who those 37 Republicans were, because at least they deserve a little passion for a change.
Well, I'd bet you could get that information pretty quickly.
Yeah, and we got a lot of fast keyboard workers out there, too. I'm kind of running a radio show right now.
Yeah, I know. Well, and I'm not a fast keyboard worker, so, you know, there you go.
Right.
I'm not going to get you the names right.
Yeah, but it was nice to put one in the win column, and it was nice to, of course.
Well, I'm hoping that Democrats can see from that if they stand together and stand tough, and you know, there are a lot of things that we have to take a stand on, and that's a good start, and hopefully it gives people courage.
Well,
because that's what I think our party needs, courage.
Yeah, we are kind of the cowardly lion, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Courage.
Yes, we are.
But the thing is, and you know me, Wayne. I'm a little bit of a political cynic here. I don't know if these 37 Republicans did the right thing or caught so much hell that they knew that they might as well not even run next term if they didn't do this.
No, I think on labor issues and Davis-Bacon issues, I think these 37 Republicans have been counted on many times before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, in 90, when was the Gingrich Revolution? 94 or something?
Yeah, 94.
You know, there was a real serious attempt to repeal Davis-Bacon.
Yeah, there was.
And they didn't do it.
Yeah, they got off
and
the reservation.
And there again, they had the majority.
Yeah.
So we couldn't have won it without them. You know, so I think it's probably more consistent than not.
Well, good. I'd be more than happy to be wrong on this.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I do. You know, I know you do your show and all that, but there are some Republicans that aren't that bad, Bob.
Well, okay, yeah, sure. I don't have a problem with that. And when we, Republicans have always been and will always be, in their very essence, pro money. And pro the, you know, the people who aren't, you know, I used to call it the Lark's Vomit canape crowd. You know, they're going to be for that bunch.
Right. But you know, there's a pro money and there's pro greed.
Right.
And I don't like the pro greed.
Yeah, and the pro greed is what we're talking about when we're talking about, or not, just mean. Damn it, they're just mean.
Well, and we're in their grips as we speak.
I mean,
you know, that's who's running this whole world is the pro greed.
Well, they want to, this gang, Bill Thomas from California, wants to cut $3.8 billion to lose 16.
Yeah.
I mean,
doesn't that make a lot of sense?
Yeah, I mean,
so he wants to get rid of what they get their match for in California.
Right.
Or is that where he's from, California?
Yeah, he wants to slit child support enforcement's throat in all 50 states.
Oh, okay.
And bear in mind, I mean, I really didn't touch on this, but if you think about it, the way child support enforcement works, let's say Precious Darling has gotten pregnant and had a baby, and she's getting state services, WIC, Medicaid.
Some food stamps, probably.
Right. The state keeps track of that, and they have a penchant for looking up the deadbeat dads who just kind of walked away and left it to the state to carry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, wouldn't you think a Republican, being fiscally conservative and everything, would see the benefit in chasing down that deadbeat dad and saying, you know, look, we're keeping track of the money we're spending because you won't, and we're racking interest on it, and we're going to bust you if you don't pay what you owe? I mean, isn't that fiscally conservative?
I would think so.
And yet these guys are in such a deep hole.
There's even a moral tendency.
Well, yeah, but they're in such a deep hole because of this ugly little war that George started, that they got to cut it somewhere, and they can't because of people like Grover Norquist. They can't say, look, you know, the tax cuts are going to have to wait for a better day. We can't make them permanent.
Well, you know, I know, and I don't understand why we're in the position we're in, because there, you know, people declare on other shows that because of the tax cuts, we're bringing in more money than we ever had, and you know, so how could we possibly be in this mess?
Yeah, well, because that's voodoo economics.
That's what it is, buddy.
And remember who first coined that term?
I believe it was Daddy Bush talking about Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I believe so.
Absolutely.
I believe so.
All right, Wayne, thanks so much, man.
Oh, hey, yeah. Scowcroft was rather coarse.
Well, yeah.
Did you ever see what he said about I knew Dick Cheney had been his friend for 30 years, and that ain't Dick Cheney no more.
The pod people have gotten him? I mean,
something happened, I guess, according to Scowcroft. I haven't known him for 30 years. He's always been to me.
Right. One of those things we can't say on the
right,
radio.
Exactly. See how I bleep myself?
Yeah,
wasn't that good?
I'm proud of you.
Hey, me too. I don't want to get kicked off, you know, the first week.
Yeah, don't make me test the equipment.
No, yeah, no. Okay, you know where that button is?
I tell you, I'm looking right at it.
Okay, buddy, you could reach it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Listen, man, have a good one.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Take it easy. Oh, wow. Well, hey, look, there's a break upon us, so let's take that and come back and finish out the last quarter hour of the show. How's that sound to you? I like the sound of it. This is Head On. You know me. I'm back. And I'm Bob.
Bedtime song?
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
Little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service's State Forester, and the Ag Council.
Are you a safe miner?
If so, you may be eligible to receive official professional minor recognition. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. If you've worked 3 years or more in the mining industry without incurring a lost time workplace injury, you can be recognized as a professional miner. Professional miners are a tremendously valuable resource to the mining industry because of their proven ability to work in a hazardous environment yet remain injury-free. Professional miners stay injury-free because they are experts at recognizing and eliminating hazards. Professional miners always wear their personal protective equipment. Professional miners always conduct thorough workplace examinations. And professional miners always make the right decision where matters of safety and health are concerned. Call your local MSHA office and ask them about the professional miner recognition. Thank you for listening.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your butt, I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You feel about the Republicans, isn't it? Kind of wish they'd come back to their senses. They were kind of crazy and mean way back when, but now they're just verging on evil. We used to be able to have a debate with it. My God, the Environmental Protection Act was passed and signed. It was signed by Richard Nixon. Do you honestly think we could get an Environmental Protection Act signed by the likes of Dear Leader? If you do, well, we promise you OxyContin-free radio and not to broadcast effluents. But if you believe that would ever get behind an Environmental Protection Act, well, my God, you're listening while intoxicated. It's that simple. This is, the last 10 minutes or so of tonight's Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. And thanks by all means for joining me. Usually it's us. There's two of us here. This is Agnes's night off. Now, I was going to share some things with you that came from our friend Clarence in Burlington, North Carolina. These are the things that Democrats should learn to be proud of and not run away from. These are the things that liberals did. Going back to the FDR administration, the Civilian Conservation Corps. And you see a lot of it here in West Virginia, but you drive around the country. Those old 70, 80-year-old state parks with the beautiful stonework, that is the CCC. That's a liberal idea. Unemployment relief. Liberal. National Industrial Recovery Act, liberal. Something I grew up being very familiar with, the Tennessee Valley Authority, liberal. The Veterans Emergency Housing Act, Republicans didn't pass that. That's liberal Democratic doing. The Elementary and Secondary Education Act. The Higher Education Act. The Older Americans Act. That's Medicare and Medicaid. Republicans didn't do that. We did. The Appalachian Regional Development Act. That's ours, too. The College and Vocational Education Act. That's one in our column. The Civil Rights Act. Yeah, that's our doing, too. The Voting Rights Act. Bingo. The Permanent Food Stamp Program, ours. The Integration of the Armed Forces, we did that. Now, wait a minute, let's think of some great moments in Republican legislative history, how about? I got the Terry Schiavo Bill. That's what you get out of this bunch of punks and thugs. Congress called back into session on Easter weekend to come and interfere in the private lives of some ordinary Americans. And this, what is this creep's name? This Schindler, Randy Schindler, is that his name? He's going to be up in Morgantown rubbing elbows and sharing a table with Joe Manchin. Because you got to remember, the West Virginians for Life, they don't just believe in tying up women's uteruses. They want to make sure, because, you know, Jesus says so, they want to make sure that you get to suffer to the maximum degree at the end of your life, and that if you decide that you can't go on and the pain is too great and you just want to die with a little bit of dignity, West Virginians for Life is there to say, no, by God, suffer. That's what you get from Republicans. From Democrats, you get Small Business Investment Act. You get aid to dependent children. You get the Peace Corps. You get the Marshall Plan. This list is a list. It's the history of everything that is good and decent and right about America. And there is not a single thing on here that was that is Republican inspired. The Fair Housing Act. Low-income housing. The Federal Ethics Code, gutted though it may be. It was a nice idea once upon a time, I guess. The Highway and Mass Transit Funding Bill. It goes on and on and on. Ronald Reagan spent $249 billion a year on a so-called strong defense. Bill Clinton spent $273 billion. And yet they say, the military don't respect Bill Clinton. And that sad, sick freak, Jesse Helms down in North Carolina, said, well, Bill Clinton better not come down here. More Reagan administration officials were charged with crimes. That would be 137. Than the cumulative total for all presidents of the 20th century. You take every president, every presidential administration of the 20th century, add up all the crooks in all the administrations, it still does not add up to the crooks that came out of the Reagan administration alone. Are we figuring it out yet? And yet, because the Republican Party is allied with some people who said, yeah, them liberals is going to get your Bible. We got people running away from a record of decency and honor and integrity and caring like this. I know. Some people would prefer that I laid off the Republicans a little bit. Fine. When they get decent and they get human and they get normal and they get away from the swindler schindlers, I'll get off them. But as long as they're part of, they are part and parcel of a party controlled by a man who starts wars because he loses his freaking patience. As long as this party, that party is controlled by the likes of people who said about Vietnam that he had better things to do. That would be Dick Cheney. Can't you just, well, I had better things to do. Luke. You get it now? Do you understand? It's pure smoke and mirrors. So as we sit around in our little flannel jammies and we wait for Fitzmas to come around, maybe that's not the beginning. Maybe Fitzmas is not the beginning. Maybe the beginning is when we remember that we are the nation and the party that made America great. Maybe that's where it begins. Maybe that's where the spine is. Maybe this is the Hippocene spring, is that what it was? I can't remember. That you drink from and achieve salvation. Because remembering these good and decent things that our friend Clarence was kind enough to remind us of is where the party needs to go back to, he said, hanging a preposition at the end of the word. So that's it for tonight. Randy Kerbway engineered the show. Ben Birch streams, manages the archives, and keeps me from running around the room with my hair on fire sometimes. Our buddy Jeff at Verizon made all the internet connections work. Matt at AdTran was invaluable. Brian Reznor announces the show. And, well, RMR, it's all for you.